Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Well, back in 2021, in March, I was reading through a book by Dr. Cho. Anyone here heard of Dr. Cho? He's with the Lord today. I was reading through this book on prayer because back at that time we had just come off a season of fasting. And I was directed to pull this out of my books and look at it again. And I found a bunch of notes that I put in here, and I want to share some of them with you this morning. I do want to mention that back in 1984, if you can remember back that far, back in 1984, the church he pastored in Seoul, Korea, was in the midst of a great revival and awakening in Korea. In fact, he makes mention that on a weekly basis, there were 12,000 people coming to Christ. 12,000 every week. At that point, he speaks of their congregation being 200,000, grown to 400,000. Mentioned that by the end of the year, by the end of 1984, they would exceed 500,000. And the church continued to grow from there, until it got up around 700,000, 800,000 in the main church. And then they said, we will not take in any more members at this location. And they began to establish churches throughout Korea. Dr. Cho said something in this book in the opening pages. He said, I'm convinced that renewal, speaking of reset, transformation, revival, is possible anywhere people dedicate themselves to pray. This was truly a prayer revival that took place in Korea. And it was a revival that called the nation to repentance. It was a revival of prayer for the believers. It was a revival of Holy Spirit baptisms. It was a revival where faith was strengthened and where the Word of God was shared with the nation, and miracles happened all the time. It was tremendous. Now, as we look back and think about in the early 80s, at that time in our history in the United States, it was sort of the end of what we often had referred to as the charismatic renewal, which was a revival. And recently, if you've taken note, there are more and more Christian films that are coming out, and a lot of really excellent, high-quality Christian films. The Jesus Revolution movie was just one of those that's recently been released that pointed back to the tremendous move of God during that charismatic revival, renewal that took place. Dr. Cho just abbreviated some of the moves of God, went back to Martin Luther in the 1500s, and spoke of the impact of prayer in his life and as a teacher and a leader. And Martin Luther, he was a priest, and as he had been studying the Word, God began to stir in him a hunger for more. And those of you that know a little of church history know that the day would come that he would put together the 95 Theses, and he would nail those to the church door at Wittenberg, and that would start a tremendous transformation in the nations. We know that as the Great Reformation. And then when we look at the 1700s, we find the Wesleys, John and Charles and George Whitfield. And John and Charles, being from England, they were in many ways established with knowledge of God, but they were not, well, they would later say, that we were not really born again. They knew religion. They understood that because the Reformation had brought a lot of that. But it was on May the 24th in 1738 that moment, that time, that day of transformation that the Wesleys would point back to. And following that time, that initiated in both John and Charles Wesley a tremendous hunger for God. And as they began to hunger and seek God, that led them into a very devoted life of prayer and fasting. And that became a strong part of Methodism, which it was very different than it is today. Thank God that the global Methodists are saying we're not going to drift with the crowd, but we are going to hang on to our biblical roots. And many nations have not bought into the trans and many of the other homosexual and lesbian movements that has moved into the United Methodist Church. However, back in the day, they were called Methodists because they were so structured, and a part of the structure emphasized the importance of daily spending time with God. They met in what was called cottage prayer gatherings, cottage house meetings, and they would hold each other accountable, ask each other the questions that are difficult to ask, and prod each other along in their faith and in their development. And then coming into the 19th century, God again raised up some great leaders like Charles Finney, Dwight Moody, R.A. Torrey, many of those revivalists that were raised up. And these in the 1900s, these leaders, they were revivalists, but all of the ministry that came out of their life seemed to flow from their personal, passionate pursuit of God in their prayer and fasting. And God would shake our nation. And then in the 1900s and around 1905, we began to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. I know some look at Azusa Street as if that's the beginning of Pentecost. No, Pentecost started. It started a couple thousand years ago. It didn't start at Azusa Street. It was just Azusa Street was one of those billboards in American history where God would, by His desire, shake our nation and awaken our nation and bring our nation to a place where we recognized that God was, God is, and God will always be a God of power. That God always has had a plan of salvation, but not just a plan of salvation to save us in sin, but to save us from sin and to bring deliverance in and through our lives that would motivate us to do what Acts 1:8 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Assemblies of God is just one of those organizations that was really birthed out of the Azusa Street revival. But I'm looking at this. Dr. Cho's been dead a number of years, and I'm looking at this note he put in here. He said, now we're in the latter part of the 20th century, so this goes back into the 80s. He said, many Pentecostals and Charismatics who were in the past members of mainline churches, some of you came out of mainline traditional churches, who exercised the gifts, speaking of the Charismatics and the Pentecostals, exercising the gifts of the Spirit, not limiting any of those, including the manifestation of the Spirit, signs, wonders, healings, prophetic words in tongues with interpretations, all that. He addresses that and says, And this is Dr. Cho's perspective while he was still living. He said, it seems that much of the Pentecostal and Charismatic remnant has allowed secularism to creep in to their fellowship. And he said, what the church needs today is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I don't know of any biblical way for that to happen in a greater sense than for the church to expect in our seasons of fasting and prayer that there will be miraculous intervention in our personal lives, in our families, our communities, our fellowships, and in our nation. When I look at what happened with Charlie Kirk and realize that he was a martyr, I believe, and I believe he was like the early martyrs of Firebrand. It was not as if the enemy ever could shut the voice of the Spirit of God. from the early church following Pentecost persecution would be raised up. But instead of it putting the fire out and putting the witness out, it spread it. It was like a wildfire. And the people would go into the nations with the gospel, and that is happening this morning. I've seen some statistics. I haven't studied them carefully to track the different denominations, but the report is that 2025, there were more church closings in America than in a very long period of time, maybe in our entire history. And I find that kind of shocking that last year there would be so many churches closing. Well, you understand that COVID was a planned global reset by the enemy. What I found was that Satan had a planned reset to basically shut the church down that remained in the United States. Some of you remember that. I believe there are still churches that are in lawsuits in California over the fact that they refused to close their doors and they refused to be shut up and shut down. That was a plan of the enemy, literally, to destroy the body of Christ as it exists. It didn't work. Hello. But I do look at just on the Treasure Coast, and I could name several key pastors that died during that time. And I know that this is live stream, but I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say that there was a strategy and a plan that was demonically inspired to medically exterminate many people in our nation. I believe that. And I was one of those that contracted. I won't go into my testimony, but I was within hours of dying myself, so I know what God did to heal me. But some of the pastors that I was very close to met with on a weekly basis. In fact, on the Alliance Board, we have seven of us that serve on the Alliance Board most of the time. Just a group of leaders from the Treasure Coast that gets together to call the body of Christ together. But out of those seven, we lost two of our leaders during the time of COVID. And it was a plan of the enemy, again, that will fail. So this is something that I wrote on this morning, March the 16th, 2021. And I heard Bob actually say this the other day, so Bob, thank you for saying the first line. The miraculous will be the currency of the church in the end times. I believe that. I believe the latter rain of God will restore all that we've seen as drips and dribbles of the presence and power of God. I believe we will see that as a great deluge of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the miraculous. I would not be alive if it was not for the miraculous. In my life, I have had countless miracles. I've had a lot of healings, but I've had a number of miracles. Last time I counted, there were seven times that I was either pronounced dead, or close to death, that God restored my life. If you ever wonder if God's not finished with you yet, look back at the times the enemy tried to shut you up and shut you down and take your life, and realize that God is sustaining us. I thought of this in my prayer time this morning, that when we're in the presence of God and in the will of God, and let me just say, if you're in the will of God, that is the perfect will of God. Don't let the enemy tell you that you missed the perfect will of God. All of us miss the perfect will of God because all of us have sinned. And so the will of God was that none of us would ever sin. But we did, and our race has sinned. But if you are in the will of God this morning, then that's about as perfect as it can be. So celebrate that place. But I was thinking of the fact that when we are in the will of God, the perfect will of God, and in the presence of God, I was just thinking how good it is to feel so good, spiritually, relationally, and physically. And I was thinking about the fact that Miss Harriet, you know, she just turned 90, she's still a kid. And I look to see what God is going to do now that He's been preparing her for 90 years. Sometimes in the world will say, you need to start thinking about shutting things down and parking. But I really believe that the Wesleys and the Whitfields and some of those early, many of them rode on horseback to carry the message. I believe they got it right. And they would say things like this, "I would rather burn out than rust out." And it's the enemy that would say, "Well, don't take too much on. Don't be overcommitted." And I agree if it's the tangling of the enemy, but if it is the direction and the will and the purpose of God to pray that prayer, use me, that you and Bill pray together, which puts you in all kinds of strange places, ministering. And I was thinking that Bill and Harriet minister to older people. And that's not humorous. You just had a friend, what, 100 and what? 100, well, a kid there, 104 years old and 107. So they minister to older people. And so when we think about what God is up to and we recognize that, that God has been getting us ready our whole life for now. Not so that now we look back, but so now we can look around us and be motivated to move forward with all that God has equipped us with. So the miraculous will be the currency of the church in the end times. This active Holy Spirit-infused life will be the result of a hungry, God-seeking church. A hungry, God-seeking church. I said, "Father, that's us." A hungry, God-seeking church. So when I'm thinking about a Holy Spirit-infused church, that church is a hungry, God-seeking church. And I realized we have been, we are, and we will continue to be a hungry, God-seeking church. You may say, "Well, what is a hungry, God-seeking church?" Well, I'm glad you asked, because that morning on 2021, I actually wrote down exactly what the Holy Spirit was stirring inside of me. This is a church that's convinced of its uselessness and total poverty apart from the active operation of the Holy Spirit in Pentecostal power. Yes, a hungry, God-seeking church is a church that's convinced it's useless and total poverty-stricken apart from the active operation of the Holy Spirit and Pentecostal power. This next line sort of caught my attention. Prayer must become the heir of the church. The heir of the church. The next part really got my attention. I forgot about this. And fasting must become its daily bread. We don't do much of that. But I believe if prayer becomes the air of the church and if fasting becomes the bread of the church, it will take us to a place, perhaps a place that we haven't thought about maybe ever being. In John chapter 4, there's a passage of Scripture that talks to us about Jesus at a well. You remember the story of Jesus at the well? He's at the well, and he is actually there by himself. He sent the disciples to go and get some takeout. That's exactly what they were doing. They were going to pick up a takeout, you know. That's before we had phones, so they had to actually go in and wait and bring the takeout. They're going to bring, you know, I'm sure they didn't go to the sub shop, but they were going to a restaurant of sorts, and their purpose was to get food, and they were going to come back, and they were going to have a well-watered picnic at the well. However, if you remember, there was a lady that came to the well, and that lady, for you ladies that wonder what God can do with a lady and her testimony, that lady became an evangelist that literally brought her whole city to the well. It's amazing. Now, I don't know that every person came, but they were represented well enough that it was as if the whole city responded. But the disciples came back, and they brought the takeout food back with them. So they came back. They're all ready to have lunch. And, you know, what's Jesus doing talking to this lady? And what's going on? And, you know, we're hungry. You know, now you've never done this, but my son and I, don't tell Rachel this happens, but my son and I, when we go and we pick up Chinese, we order some things that we like. They don't make it home in the bag. They do make it home, but they make it home in a different bag. But my son and all and I, we might just cheat a little bit and we get into some things. I don't know if the disciples cheated a little bit going back. They probably had some fresh baked bread and I don't know, maybe they had some fresh fish that had just been roasted. And I don't know what else they were bringing back for lunch. But when they came back, they were ready to eat. And it probably like me when I, any of you ever been to Five Guys? They're not paying me to promote them this morning, but never been to Five Guys. Yeah, Culver's is close too, but Five Guys, I don't know if they still have all those big bags of from Idaho stacked around in there, but they used to. Big bags from Idaho, and they were big potatoes, and they were just like McDonald's did 100 years ago when I was a kid. You would see them peeling the potatoes, cutting them up, but yeah, Five Guys, they can make some French fries. Yeah, they can. And so, you know, taking that home and smelling that is like, again, my son's a great example for me. And we decide we're going to eat a couple, you know. And then they're so much better when they're so fresh. And I think about the disciples. They're coming back to the well and they see Jesus. And what is he doing talking to that lady? And it's lunchtime and we just got all this fresh food and it's time to eat. And Jesus said something to them. He said, I have food that you know not of. I have food that you know not of. The Father was speaking to me about that scripture in light of this morning's revelation that I wrote down. And back at this time, I had written this. I had not looked up the scripture, but the heir of the church, prayer must be the heir of the church, fasting must become its daily bread until we know and experience that kind of food that we know not of. Now, we're going to have some great food today. One thing that I found out around this church is we're not going to starve. And Miss Helen Woods used to tell me, she said, Some people are just a house of God. She said, some of us are blessed to be a grand cathedral. And some of us may be so blessed with our food, we might be a grand cathedral. But the point is, there is a food in God. There is a nourishment of God. There is a place in God's presence that cannot be obtained by simply listening, watching, observing, and following. You have to become an active participant to experience the food that the disciples didn't know about. Oh, they had been with Jesus when he healed. They had been involved in healing. They had been involved in miracles. They had been involved in a lot of things. And they're standing there with the food, and Jesus is saying, I've been feeding on a different kind of food. And I believe the Father is saying, I want my church to feed on eternal food. And I want you to be nourished in a fresh kind of a way, greater than, well, the woman at the well, we all know, Jesus said, I have water to give you that you know not of. And she's all excited because she had been going down and picking up, raising the ropes and carrying water. She was excited for that. Jesus wasn't talking about that, was he? He was talking about a well of water of the Holy Spirit springing up inside of her because of her relationship with God and the plan of God to be God in us, which would come later. But it wasn't just that woman, perhaps a woman of the night, that did not understand the food that God had to give or the drink God had to give, but the disciples did not understand it either. But Jesus would later say, as the disciples are criticized for not fasting like, you know, the religious people did, he said, the day's going to come when they're going to do that. And I want to suggest this morning that if we are going to experience the fullness of what God has for us as a hungry, God-seeking church, God wants to take us to a fresh banquet table in His presence. Whatever you've experienced, whatever I've experienced, all I hear the Father saying is there's so much more, so much more. It's daily bread, the fasting, until we know of the food that Jesus said that you know not of. And then there's another passage that talks about the deep. It talks about the deep speaking to the deep reaching to the deep communicating with the deep. And though you may look at that and say, what is that about? I'm confident that it was the same kind of a thing Jesus was saying when he was talking about the food. I am feeding on something that is much more permanent, much more powerful, much more transcending than anything you understand. I believe when Jesus was talking about the deep speaking to the deep reaching to the deep, I believe he was saying there is a place of spiritual blessing, prosperity, fruitfulness, and miraculous intervention that is deeper than anything you have seen yet. And you may say, well, what? I've never seen some of the things that I really want to see. Why have I not seen them yet? Just remember that many times people see for the first time when God shows up what they had been hungering and desiring for a long time. The deep to the deep. Speaking to the deep. This relationship with the Father, I simply wrote, I must have. I must have. I know people have bucket list. I know people have bucket lists. They travel the world. They have a bucket list. And there's things they want to accomplish, things they want to do, things they want to see, places they want to go. All before I die, I want to do all of this. But if you haven't heard me say it before, it's probably been a long time since I've said this, but I want to see in my Holy Spirit bucket list, I want to see the full manifestation of the power of God exceeding what happened on the day of Pentecost in my lifetime. I believe it's an okay thing with God that we pray for that kind of a relationship with God and that kind of a pursuit of God and that kind of food being given to us by God. How do you believe God really wants His church all over the globe to be a hungry, God-seeking church? I believe He does. How many of you believe that God wants you to be, you, me, we, to be a part of a hungry, God-seeking church?
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I invite you to join us every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. for Follow His Sandals.
This show is about practical keys to help all of us walk more closely with our Lord Jesus Christ to become better disciples.
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.